All right, trying to get going here today. A little late in the day, but to be quite honest, we were busy today. I like my old controls better. I can control that music better. It's probably still playing in the background, but I can't hear it.
No, it's not. I can't hear it.
Yeah,
it's the only benefit about being blind.
Oh, man. I'm just... Everything I'm going... What a wreck right now. Between my back and my blood sugar and headaches, and I can't walk, and I don't even know where I did with my cane.
Seriously?
Seriously, I lost my cane the other day. I was using it. It might be in the rod room leaning up somewhere because I was talking to that NBC reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the last time I had it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Old man, all busted up, got so many parts that don't work, you know.
The two people I care about the most are getting busted up. I didn't talk to Loyal, but he sent me a text. Said, you been doing all right? I haven't heard from you or anything. Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks. Knocked out his front tooth and fell and split open his head.
Really?
And then he ended it with, I'm getting old. And that was the last I heard from him, so I don't have a story to go along with either one of them. None of it.
Well, all I can tell you is, I don't know.
Quit falling apart on me.
Well, I ain't that much worse than I ever was. That's why I have canes and crutches at the house, because of all the damage I've done.
Right.
I destroyed myself for a number of years, and same old thing. So, speaking of same old things...
No, you want to hear something really cool?
Okay.
This is not really fishing related, but nature related. You know I love watching the stars, meteor showers, all that crap. This morning at 5 o'clock when I woke up outside having my morning nicotine, I'm looking up at the stars and I'm like, I'll be damned, that's a satellite. And I got to see two of them when I was out in Arizona visiting Mom a couple months ago.
Did you actually know it was a satellite?
Well, it was moving along like a little star, and I don't get to see them very well anymore. Okay. So it's got to be a pretty bright one. So I ran inside and grabbed my binoculars. Found it. I'm like, okay, it's not a plane.
All right.
It's a satellite. And I take the binoculars down. I'm like, that's not another one. There's a second one. I'm like, how cool is that? There's a third one. Now I'm like, conspiracy theory, goosebumps, what the hell, what's going on?
Isn't it funny that when you see something out of the normal in today's world, you always think zombie apocalypse? It's never like, oh, what is that? It's like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Well, zombie apocalypse is back.
Well, it gets better. I'm watching, I'm like, okay. About to finish my cigarette. There's another one. So now I'm really freaking out.
While Robert's quiet, he's pretending to look up in the air and look around.
Right.
That's when he's not talking.
Now I'm up to 12.
Okay.
Text Josh, you awake? Nothing. I know Jeff's up.
Yeah, Josh don't get up till like 9, 10 o'clock.
I text Jeff, or I call Jeff. Jeff, go out back of the shop. I know you're already there. You see any satellites? I said, I'm up to 18 now.
See, the way Jeff described it to me this morning, Robert calls up, there's all these white lights going across, these things streaking across the sky. You didn't know what they were.
In 10, 15 minutes' time, I got to 25.
Right.
And Jeff said he saw something on the news that they were doing some type of satellite something or rather where they were going to light up all the satellites at a certain time to figure something out. I don't know.
Well,
but it was the coolest thing.
Even Iran's got satellites.
Everybody does.
There's so many satellites up there, and it's getting hard for them to eventually,
explode.
They always talk about, But they talk about us going to Mars and all these other planets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If it keeps up with the amount of junk they put up there, you're not going to be able to get through the junk to get to space without getting
hit by something.
Hit by something at 64,000 miles an hour or something. The satellites are traveling, and tools, wrenches, pieces of stuff, they're all going faster than bullets.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder for them to get they want to send people up into, to the space station and start going to moon and all that stuff again. And so Trump's trying to figure out what all this stuff is. And then Iran put satellites up there. China's got hundreds of satellites up there. You know, Russia's got all these satellites. And, and everybody always talks about Russia. You know, oh, Russia's the enemy. Russia's the enemy and how they hate us and all this. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. We have space exploration. We're partners with Russia on. We go there and we have nature studies with Russia. We have all people going back and forth to Russia all the time.
Show me an astronaut movie where they haven't had a Russian astronaut in it.
Yeah, because us and the Russians, we do all this stuff together. Now, if the news network weren't so dishonest, they would be noticing that the U.S. and Russia are partners in many, 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 many things. How many things do we partner with China on? Well, nothing.
Just products.
We just give them billions of dollars a year to make cheap crap. So, if there was a little bit of honesty, and we have a tremendous amount of people moving down from up north. And I'm going to say this right up front. You get mad at me or don't get mad at me. Don't care. Everybody knows I love my customers, and this is nothing to do with that. But this is something we really want to be aware of. If you're moving here from up north or from another state, because the taxes in your state got very high, because the crime rate in your state is very high, and you're coming to Florida because we have very little crime, we still have crime, but, there's stuff being stolen all the time, but very seldom does anybody get accosted or mugged or anything like that. We have a lot less crime than most places because most of us carry guns. And if you're going to mug somebody in Florida, you better kind of watch your butt, because the old lady you come up to mug might be carrying a .357. that's Florida. So criminals are a lot more careful in Florida about who they mug or who they rob or anything else, because we're very protective. And so, but when you're thinking about moving down here, we want to ask you to do one simple thing. Maybe it's joining the independent party like I am. I don't like Republicans and I don't care for Democrats. I'm an independent. But the one thing we absolutely ask you to do is don't vote for the same brand of idiot that overtaxed you, crime-ridden your streets. Don't vote for the same kind of idiot that ran you out of the state you used to love. When you come here, you're moving to a different place. Think differently. Don't do what you always did just because that's what you always did. This is a fresh start for you. And we would love to have you here in Florida. We have many great neighbors from up north of all brands and species. But it's a time for a new beginning. So look at, if you're going to vote, look at both people realistically and honestly and say, which one will do the least damage? You can't say which one's going to do the most good. All we can ever say about politicians is, will this one do more damage than that one? Or will that one do less damage than this one? That's all you can ever say. That's why I'm an independent. So that's just one thing. New beginning, new start, new thinking. And it goes true when you're looking for fish. When you're looking for fish, we tell people, if you fish one way and that's the only way you fish, you and the fish have to agree on that. If you're putting a sinker on and throwing a bait out on the bottom, there has to be bottom feeding fish there. If you're throwing it out with a bobber on and fishing with a bobber, you need trout or mackerel or ladyfish, something that's going to swim through the upper middle columns of the water in order to hit. But if you have two rods and you put one down on the bottom and one under a bobber and look for the best result. So you know, what I'm saying is not anything we don't teach in fishing or politics or environmental stuff. Clear your head, take a deep breath, and forget the labels. Look at the people. Because there's some good Democrats, there's few, but there's good, a few good ones. And there's some, you know, some good Republicans, a few, but there's slightly more of them than there are Democrats. But look at the person and decide, does that person going to do the least damage? And when you're fishing, don't get hung up on this is how I fish. Do you care how you fish, or do you care how you catch?
Right.
This is the big question with people. Do you really care if you're using a bobber or a sinker or free lining or using a jig or a bait or how you're doing it? You want to be doing it so you actually catch a fish. That's the end result of the whole thing. So think differently. Do different stuff. If you do the exact same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, gee whiz.
Right.
I don't even have to finish that. We don't, no. You know. So it's not about, you know, and people always say, well, you know, you got to do this or got to do that or you got to be this or got to be that. No, you can be in the middle and look at both sides of the thing, whether you're fishing, should I be up in the water column, should I be down in the water column. With politics, you can be on this side or that side, but it's better to be in the middle, looking at both sides, wondering who's going to get you first.
Right. Yeah, fishing rules are not even rules. They're just loose guidelines. It's like, well, okay, I was doing this last year at this time, but you know what? Last year at this time was 10 degrees colder water temperature and 15 degrees cooler air temperature for 2 weeks in a row. Not this trip.
This trip, but you know, last
completely
year the water
animal.
Was seven, or this year the water's, you know, 70 some degrees, and last year it might have been 80 or 85 degrees.
Right.
You can't go by the calendar. If you go diving in the Gulf of Mexico or in a reef in Charlotte Harbor, out of all the places I've dove and explored, diving and other means, I've never seen a calendar posted to a rock.
Nope.
Where it goes, okay, all snappers go here, it's January, you know, we're going to go to Boca Grande Pass because it's January. You know, tarpon, okay, it's, you know, April, all the tarpon, leave the Keys, everybody goes to, you know, this is the month we all go. No, it's all weather related, water temperature, fresh water, cold water pressures, there's all kinds of stuff. And we've had a surprising amount of people catching fish.
Yeah, it's been a really, really... Honestly, all of April was, overall, I would say it was on the better than average side. There was a lot of screwed up days, but if you combine the whole month of April, I think it was above average for most of the species.
Wow. You know? Hang on just a second. Okay. So, how do you feel now with all that information?
That's crazy. That's okay. Super crazy. But so, know, the fishing, just with everybody obviously on Corona vacation and stuff like that, which is a
coronacation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, but from the fishing aspect it's a great thing because we're getting so much feedback from people, and there's a lot of people who haven't had the time to fish.
And I'm gonna take just a moment to compliment Charlotte County on its virus response. And our governor, Ron DeSantis, on his virus response. It's not happening, the opening's not happening as fast as some people like it, but he's on a path, and he's doing stuff. It's like a, you know, I look at Trump, and he does 10 things, 7 of them are right, 3 of them are wrong, but at least he's doing something, you know? And I gotta give a lot of props to our county. We had things happen like overcrowding on piers, so they cut down, they said, nope, can't go on the piers. As soon as things got back to a reasonable level, they said, okay, you can go back on the piers now. You can open the beaches now. You can do this. You can do that. Next week, the restaurants are open. I'm dying to go to a restaurant. And I don't even like restaurant food. I'm lucky. The woman I've been with all these years, phenomenal cook. She just hates it because I would rather eat at home than anywhere else.
Right.
You know? It always reminds me back when I was young, a friend of mine, he says, yeah, she ain't much, but boy, she's the best cook I ever had. I eat 3 times a day. I might only have sex twice a week. He says, but I eat 3 times a day, and she's the best cook I ever met. I was like, he loved her to death.
That's funny.
As nice as she could be, though.
That's good stuff.
But, you know, when you're... We've been 15 minutes of BS in here. I guess we got to get to the fishing report.
Probably.
I don't know why anybody listens to us.
You know, because they never know which way it's going to go.
But to the 70-some thousand people around the country and the world that tune in each month or each week, thank you. We love you guys, all of you. And, you know, whether it's a fishing opinion, a political opinion, environmental opinion, the one thing I want you guys to understand is we are absolutely pretty much middle of the road on this. We want to look at everything that happens, how it happens, why it happens, and we're not left or right. We're dead core in the middle, and we like everybody. I mean, because basically the people that work here, there's everything from hardcore Republicans, hardcore Democrats, independents. I mean, I think at one point we've pretty much had every race, creed, or color behind the counter here.
Yeah.
And it's just that life is not and should never be a fixed proposition. And we try and tell it with people, when you're fishing, the more inconsistently you fish, the more you change it around, the more consistently you'll catch. And that holds true with all of life.
Yeah.
Go this way, go that way. Never follow the herd. Never follow the crowd. Because why would you? When do you know a mob to be right? When do you know, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is what everybody does. Well, if everybody's been doing it wrong for 100 years, about time somebody did it right. So, Peace River, what's going on?
The only thing I've had up there, honestly, is there's a lot of guys catching some nicer snook above basically Arcadia area for the most part. And then there's been a handful of juvenile to sub-adult tarpon from like 10 to 60 pounds from the Navigator over towards Shell Creek. But other than that, it's been fairly quiet. It's been beautiful up there. Quite a few people trying to fish up there, but finding that it's been a little on the quieter side this last week. And I think that'll kind of continue on a trend.
I mentioned we ate at the Navigator a while back, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. So, if you're running around, and I go out to Cabbage Key, we go out to the Tarpon Cove Lounge, we go to all these other places, Uncle Henry's and all that other kind of stuff. But if you're traveling around and it's a windy day and you just want something to do, take a ride up the Peace River, go up to the Navigator, have lunch. It's a nice place to go. It's crowded.
Right.
You know, but a lot of people there, but I guess there's a reason for that. So
hey, turn it around. That's good.
Yeah. I-75.
I've got nothing there. Nothing at all, unfortunately.
All right. 41 Bridge.
That's been doing fairly well. A lot of people are fishing off the pier, catching some mangrove snapper, some snook, a couple of redfish, a handful of sharks, and then the bridge itself has been holding some tarpon and snook on it, especially around sunset all the way through the nighttime. And the tarpon have been assorted sizes from 10 to 120 pounds. But one night's incredible, and then the next two nights are very quiet on them, so it's inconsistent, but when they're on, it's been pretty good. One guy did 7 fish, I think, in the air the other night. 6 or 7, I can't remember what he said, but he landed 2. He said one was 20 pounds, the other one was about 50 pounds, but he hooked one fish that he said was a solid 100-plus pound fish, and he actually got it through one bridge, but when he got up close to the next bridge, broke him off. But he was excited about it, so it was pretty cool. He was actually in buying a couple spool techs off the wall, because that's what he ended up hooking them on, because his old faithful 5-inch jerk bait that he usually throws at snook produced a bunch of tarpon for him last year, and it wasn't working well, so he tried his spool tech that his son told him to try, and that's what he got him on.
That's cool. And we've got those old spool techs that buy one, get one free. It's pretty much the lowest price anybody. They say, oh, this guy's got a cheap price on me, if you're buying one, but you buy two from us and they're actually half the price.
Right.
Not two-thirds.
Right.
So, yeah. We can play all the games, too.
Right. Not a bad thing at all.
Yeah, you wanna play with... Wanna play? Let's play. Okay. Let's see, Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier's had a few mangrove snapper underneath it, and then there's been a couple of snook being caught along the seawall there. Other than that, it's been fairly quiet for reports.
Okay. Bayshore Pier.
I've got nothing there this
week. Oh, triple tail.
Ron was going fishing there yesterday, but I never heard back how he did.
Oh, no, I've talked to like three people this morning. One guy who didn't know about Bayshore Pier, but he found it. He came in to thank me for the website so he could... He found Bayshore Pier through the website.
Okay. Nice.
He caught triple tail, I think, from the way he described, black tip sharks. And I forget what else he said he caught. It was smaller fish like whiting or trout or mackerel or something. But he was just so excited. He showed me this picture of this. It was a nice triple tail, probably 22 inches.
Jeez.
And...
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. He was all excited.
Still to this day, the biggest triple tail I've ever seen caught and brought in here was caught off of that pier.
Yeah. Bayshore is a
chunk mullet right on the bottom. It's like, really?
Oh, yeah.
It surprised you because, like you said, you know, bobber, bottom fishing, you know, some species tend to be doing this, but not always. And that, I mean, that was like a...
If I was going to do it...
Right, it was like a mid-20-pound fish. Yeah. You actually weighed it. This was probably 18 years ago.
Yeah.
It was the biggest triple-tailed still to this day that I've seen, but I remember it so well because it was my first seeing a triple-tailed in person. And the way he caught it just blew my mind because of all the articles I had read and all the fishing shows that I had watched. He was fishing stone right on the bottom with a big pyramid sinker and a piece of cut mullet.
Yeah, if I was going to do it, I would do a sinker on the bottom. I'd come up about 3 foot, either with a three-way swivel or a knot tie off the leader, so my bait would be suspended there about a foot or two off of that, and then a small bobber at the top just to keep it vertical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I got a float, come down about 6-8 inches. I've got a line coming off of there with a piece of cut bait on it, and then go down about 3 foot to a sinker. Now the bobber should be big enough to float the bait and everything, but not big enough where it lifts the sinker up. I want the sinker to pull that bobber underwater so it just supports the rig.
Okay.
Keeps that rig up in the water, and if you get a little bit of current there, it'll kind of flag out from it. Flag, F-L-A-G, you know, like a flag fluttering in the wind.
Right.
And that would be the way I would go for shark or triple tail there. So that it was not dead in the mud, but, you know, suspended up a little bit.
Right.
And I think you catch some amazing fish there.
Yeah. Well, you showed that rig to a guy years ago that used to catch cobia up there by El Jobin.
Right.
He used to be pretty successful with that rig from when you showed him.
Yeah, it's funny. A guy came in today, he was telling me all about this rig and how to do this and how to do that. And, you know, oh, this is brand new. I saw it on the internet, and it's brand new and everything. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, man, I've been doing that since the 80s.
Redfish on a popping cork.
You know, it's hey. Like, oh, man, why is it every time something pops up on the internet, it's all brand new and fresh? It's kind of nice because we get a lot of older stuff being reintroduced to people.
Right.
And it's hard, you know, put a guy in here. And I ended up not really selling him much of anything, you know, because he was a bass fisherman. He's got a whole box full of all this bass stuff. He wanted to do snook against the mangroves, but he didn't know how to cast the rod properly. He didn't know how to rig. He's rigging like you would for bass, which means you're never going to catch any snook.
Right.
And the lure and the hooks, everything, the line, the rod, the reel, everything's the same. But when you rig for bass, people tend to, when they're using soft plastics, just leave the hook in the plastic, and then you got to pull so hard with the rod, you got to set the hook so hard, you just rip it out of the fish. And in freshwater, you rip that hook out because you're not setting the hook into the fish, you're getting the hook out of the plastic,
right,
to get into the fish. So what we do is take the hook all the way through so it's laying flat on top of the soft plastic, pull the bait so that it goes forward a little bit, and just snag on the tip of the hook the tiniest bit of plastic, so that as soon as the fish touches it, it releases and you can just do a normal hook set. You don't have to go stupid and try and fall off the other side of the boat when you're setting the hook.
Right.
And that's the difference between a freshwater soft plastic rig and a saltwater plastic rig. With the freshwater, you leave the hook in the plastic, and then when you set the hook, you're trying to get it out of the plastic into the fish. So it requires a very hard hook set. But with saltwater, we just take the hook all the way through, let it sit on there, and then snag a little bit of the plastic. It doesn't require hardly any amount of hook set. So, anyway, the Port Charlotte Canals?
In the Port Charlotte Canals are getting a bunch of small snook. Jacks have moved back in there pretty regularly.
Yeah, needless to say, with that guy, he wanted, you know, the new hooks and the saltwater baits and all this and all that. And I, just to get to know the guy, so I kind of have a reference with him. I ended up not selling him any of the stuff because he already had it all.
Yeah.
I said, "Bud, why would I sell you stuff that you already have? It makes no sense. It's very poor business practice."
Right.
And the only thing he was excited about is I took him into the bait room so he could see shrimp swim, which I've been doing probably 3 or 4 times a day. Because people have this crazy notion, shrimp swim backwards or something. I don't know. They think they go sideways or backwards. I'm like, no, you've never seen a shrimp. How are you ever going to work a DOA lure, DOA shrimp, if you've never seen a shrimp swim?
Yeah.
It's impossible. I mean,
I've had people tell me the same thing. Like, well, the hooks are in it wrong. That's not how a shrimp swims. What? Wait a minute. No.
Crawdads crawl forward.
Crawl forward. They swim backwards when they're scared. Shrimp do the exact same thing.
They dart backwards. It's a line of sight issue.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but, yeah, it's really surprising. Once people get back by the bait tanks and they're seeing the shrimp swim and how everything goes and how it actually works, then you take them back and you show them the lures and you can see the light bulbs going off.
Yeah.
That they actually get it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the cool part. When you actually see the little light bulb over their head, like, oh, I got this.
Yep.
Now I understand.
It's a pretty awesome feeling.
So, anyway, the Port Charlotte Canal system.
A lot of smaller snook. Jacks have moved back in. And then there's been a few black drums starting to pop up inside there. And we've had a lot of customers coming in talking about how to catch the sharks that are swimming around through their canals. And then you explain to them that it's the cow nose rays that are in there spawning because they're seeing the tips of their wings.
The fins coming out of the water. Yes. Orving, look, a shark!
Exactly.
I'll never forget that.
A lot of people are doing that right now. I've had half a dozen people this past week come in and asking about the sharks in the canals, and it's all cow nose rays. I mean, there's always a possible bull shark in a canal, but what you're seeing is definitely stingrays swimming across the surface. 99.9% chance.
Yeah, people think that sharks actually swim along the top like they do in the movies, and the fin comes at you and all that. If sharks coming up to eat you, you ain't getting that unless it's a great big hammerhead. They're probably the only shark I've ever seen really do that, unless it was very shallow water.
Yeah, I've seen it in shallow water, but in deep water, very, very seldom.
They're underwater. Why would they stick their fin out?
I've seen it behind the shrimp boats where their fins will come out, but they're feeding on the stuff right on the surface. It's literally floating away of the discarded bycatch.
Yeah, but they're eating within 3 to 10 inches of the surface, so their back has to be out of the water. They can't eat the bait.
Right, but under normal situations, no. Them just swimming along, unless it's, like you said, a foot of water, and that's what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Always see two. You'll almost always see two tips right next to each other.
Yeah, if you see a pair of sharks swimming side by side, that's a stingray or a cow nose ray, but it's a ray. It's not two sharks. It is definitely one ray with its wingtips up, gliding along.
Yep.
It's never a pair of sharks.
No.
Ever.
No, I've never seen that.
Okay. You know, unless the sharks went to like West Point or something, you know, learned to, you know, march in line.
Right, that's possible.
Yeah.
Not.
Well,
no. Wishful thinking.
All right. Elder Bean Pier.
It just opened, so honestly, I haven't had any feedback off of the actual pier itself. Underneath the bridge, I've had some feedback, but that's for the next one.
Okay, the Mike River area.
Snook. tarpon have been moving in and out of there pretty regularly at night. They were catching some mangrove snapper at the beginning of the week. And then all through the Myakka River from the Elder Beam Bridge out to the open harbor, Spanish mackerel are scattered throughout there, and some assorted sharks scattered through there. It's been pretty good on the Spanish mackerel with some regularity. You know, not schooled up heavy, but the fish that they're catching are pretty good size.
All right, South Gulf Cove canals.
Tilapia, lots of tilapia and Mayan cichlids. That's the only thing I've gotten. We're already out of night crawlers. We got a delivery of night crawlers yesterday, and we're out. It's unreal.
I'm going to have to buy bigger refrigerators.
Just hard to guess. I bought a half a case of rigged and unrigged Ballyhoo. We've got two rigged left. And that was Thursday mid-morning because he got here late. Gone. Yeah. But yeah. The unrigged are gone, and there's two packages of rigged left. And there was one package of rigged two unrigged that were still left in there when I put the order in.
We've got to get a much bigger place for the Ballyhoo for the next month or two because everybody's going to the Keys, everybody's out trolling.
The only thing I screwed up on was the blue crabs. I forgot to order blue crabs on this order. That's why we ran out. Yeah. Yeah, we had like 20 packages or so in there and I screwed up and just forgot them.
Okay.
That's the one I did screw up on. But the rest of it, it's just like I looked through it today and I'm like, are you kidding me? It's finger mullet, now it's the other stuff?
The finger mullet was the number one bait, number one frozen bait on the piers, going out in the boats. Everybody was doing finger mullet.
Yeah.
This is the most finger mullet we've sold in years.
Well, and the two-pack both, because this week I had to order two extra boxes of the two-pack, because instead of going through 1.5 boxes, we went through 2.5 last week, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy. But now all of a sudden the finger mullet slowed down and everybody's doing Ballyhoo and stuff. Yeah. You got to remember to order the 5-pound boxes of Ballyhoo.
Yeah. And we still have one or two in there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I looked. I didn't see any.
There was one or two in there the other day.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
Okay. So,
west wall?
West wall. The southern west wall has a lot of snook on it and redfish. But the northern part's been pretty quiet, but on top of the bar, there's been some pretty good activity. I've had several guys get into some pompano and a few cobia, an assortment of sharks, and then the tarpon have been moving back and forth on top of the bar to just on the outside edge of the bar. Mostly the smaller guys, like the 30 to 60 pounders, but they've been hodgepodge through that whole area. So it's been pretty interesting. And the manatees are still hanging out down there. I've had quite a few customers talking about all the manatees they're seeing over on the west wall. One guy saw an alligator the other day. He said that blew his mind. I'm like, yeah, they cruise around, especially this time of year. It's mating season. They're moving around quite a bit. And he's like, it just puzzled me because I just really, when I saw it, startled me. Then I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, they do move around. But he said the first initial thing was like, what are you doing here?
And the only way you can tell a crocodile from an alligator is when the reptile has its mouth closed. On a crocodile, you can see the teeth. On an alligator, you cannot see the teeth. So if you see one swimming along and you can see teeth right there on the side of his face, don't mess with that one because they're very unpredictable. The alligator will run from you, no problem. But the crocodiles, and they come from, down by 10,000 islands?
Mm-hmm.
And they're protected, so they don't get hunted, they don't get shot at, and they aren't afraid of anything.
No.
So if you see the teeth, stay away. If you can't see the teeth, it's just an alligator, you know, it'll run. It's not going to come after you.
Right.
But a croc, you don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah, you never know.
All right, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Redfish and snook are really good inside Muddy Bay. And then out on Cape Hayes itself, a few pompano, Spanish mackerel, assortment of sharks. And that's about it that I've gotten. But the sharks have been kind of a trip from I've only heard of a couple of bonnet heads, but black nose and black tips, guys are catching them up there in 3 feet of water, which I've never done. I've always caught them out in like 6 feet of water plus. you know, a little bit more open water area, but a couple of guys, the pictures they were showing me were Atlantic sharpnose because of those nice distinct bleach spots. At least when their picture's kind of lousy, if I can see those bleach spots, I know what it is.
Yeah. All right.
Kind of neat.
Man. Yeah, I still hurt. All right. just me grunting as I try and move so the pain is reduced a little bit. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
A lot of snook, a lot of redfish. Been a handful of trout inside there. Been an assortment of sharks. There was some juvenile tarpon in there at the end of last week. A guy was fishing in there on Sunday and said he saw some juvenile tarpon along that back trench there in Turtle Bay. And then the mangrove snapper have been off again, on again, depending on which shack you hit. And I don't know if it's because of all the fishing pressure in there or what, but one guy says he does really good on it, and the next three guys say they didn't catch any. So I'm not really sure what the deal is with that one. The water is super, super clear in there, so I think it's a combination of pressure, and also guys are using too heavy a leader. Mangrove snapper aren't dumb when it comes to that.
Well, they've gotten a lot more leader shy in the last few years.
Yeah.
So Cape Hayes, Danger Reef,
Spanish mackerel, and some sharks of all kinds and sizes. Anywhere around that whole vicinity, there's been a lot of little bait fish, so all the predators are there.
Okay. This is why I try and get the dates all done before we do this, because it's hard to copy them in. Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats?
That whole area has been pretty good. They got a lot of snook moving in and out of there. There's so many snook moving out to the passes and the beaches. Guys are seeing a lot of groups of 2 to 10 fish in little groups. There's been some assorted trout, ladyfish, sharks, and even a few tarpon scattered out in that deeper water as you get out towards the ICW in like 4 to 5 feet of water. So even if you got a boat that drafts a little bit too much, you can still drift across that area and get a good mixture of fish.
Okay. Gasparilla Pass, Placida Pier.
The Placida Pier just opened, so I really honestly don't have anything off the pier itself. But around the trestle, there's been some mangrove snapper. A lot of baby gag grouper been caught this past week. Some snook, tarpon have been moving in and out of there between tarpon. They've been mostly between the trestle and the bridges, but there's been some tarpon going out of Gasparilla Pass itself too, with some pretty good regularity.
Okay. All right. It's weird. Pier closed, social distance, yada-da-da. God, what a weird time in life.
It's really bizarre.
All right. Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, whatever.
Stump Pass, there's been some Spanish mackerel in there and a few whiting and lots of lizard fish. That's the only report I've gotten. A guy was in here the other day telling me, because I guess it's that pass is getting worse as usual, but he saw 2 boats that were swamped.
Really?
Yep. One completely buried up on the beach with the guys standing there on the beach with their arms crossed, and the other guy was literally getting swamped as he was going by trying to work his way into the pass.
Okay. Now, if you ever come into that situation where you're getting in that area by very shallow water with a lot of waves coming in, the one thing you want to do is throw your anchor out the front of the boat. Try and get that anchor to dig in, tie it off to the bow of the boat, because you want the boat to nose out towards the waves. As long as that boat is sideways or rear end to the waves, you're going to keep taking water. If you get yourself in, okay, you're going to be swamped up by the beach. Jump out as soon as you can, push the nose of the boat out towards the open water, and get the nose riding the waves. If that boat is sideways or the back end of the boat is facing those waves, you're just going to take more and more and more and more water. The object is to get the nose out so that it will ride on the waves coming up and down. And if you can, just throw the thing out, try to get the anchor tied to the pole ring that would put the boat up on the trailer. Now that will allow that front end of the boat to go up and down much better. If the rope comes over the bow, it's okay, but it's going to try and hold the nose down, allowing the waves to go over the top of the nose of the boat. If you can get this in time, okay, this is going to happen, and you can throw your anchor out to deep water and tie it off to the ring on the front of the boat where you would normally hook up to pull it onto the trailer, you have a very good chance of not losing that boat. But now remember, what I'm telling you to do is extraordinarily dangerous. That wave can push that boat into you. You can be hurt. You can break arms, get concussions. This is a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. You have to decide, is this worth risking your life to save that boat, or just the heck with it, let the insurance deal with it later. So those are your options. But what I'm telling you about is dangerous. Now, I've done it a couple of times where took waves over the back of the boat because I was on the beach, and I grabbed the front of the boat and just started pushed the boat out the nose of the boat to open water, get it up a little bit, and then if you get lucky, somebody can throw you a rope from a boat and you pull it forward, it'll pop right back out. But the problem is, if you're sideways, you're not getting it out. It is not going to happen. It's just going to fill with water and fill with sand. The last time I did that was where I had my boat swamped from a wave come over the back because I nosed up to the beach. You get a big boat goes by, you don't see it, and all of a sudden you got just big waves coming in. Or you're not paying attention. It's a full moon or new moon with really strong tides. What that does is pull the waves further back from the beach. So where normally the waves would be coming back 3, 4, 5 feet from the beach, and it's not a problem, but all of a sudden they're coming back 20 feet from the beach, it drops the back of your boat down, and then the waves can come over. Because as the wave pulls back, that gets very shallow right there. And it drops the back of the boat, and the waves come over the back. You got to watch the moon. You don't want to be up against the shoreline on a full moon, or even a new moon, where the tide is extraordinarily heavy.
That's, yeah, I never gave that any thought. That's pretty impressive there.
But all I've ever had to do is get that nose, run the nose of the boat around, and then if you have a few people or a bunch of people around, you could simply push the boat out and, you know, get your motor up so it's not digging in the sand, and then just push the boat out to open water and it'll ride up. Boats want to be on top. That's where they want to be. And but if you don't and you're sideways, it will be literally in 15 to 20 minutes, your boat will be full of sand. It took over a year for me to get all the sand out of my damn boat. I'm still getting handfuls of sand out of it.
Wow.
And I never saw any sand go in.
Right.
It was just the waves. But there's so much sand mixed in with the water as those waves crash, you wouldn't believe how many pounds of sand I got out of the bottom of that boat the last time it happened. And it was just because I didn't see the big waves coming because I didn't know the boat went by. So
that's crazy.
You know, you always want to have your nose facing open water, not nose up on the beach, unless it's exceptionally calm and you know there's no big boats coming.
Right. No chance of that, yeah.
Best thing to do is drop an anchor out, let the boat, you know, raise your motor up, just let the boat go back towards the beach, you know, with the nose facing the waves, because that's the way it's going to ride. If the stern's out, wave pulls back, the boat drops down, waves come over, you're sunk.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
But, you know, one of the reasons people get into trouble in Stump Pass is they want to run through there at 25, 30 miles an hour. And you're going to make mistakes because all of a sudden the sandbar shifted a little bit. Slow down and now go your way in and out, and you'll make it in and out safely because you can react at 5 miles an hour. You don't have time at 25. Oh, sand! No, ain't going to work.
Right, exactly.
Stump Pass is getting to the point you want to, once you're into the channel, you're going to pass land and get out towards the Gulf. It veers way south again. Go slow, and you'll make it in and out safely. If you go fast, you're not going to do it. So Englewood Pier.
We got nothing. They just opened back up, so unfortunately nothing. But at least they're open.
Yeah. Venice.
I got nothing. They just opened too. I don't know if they just opened or if they opened Monday, but I know they're going to open. Tampa's the only one that's staying closed from what I've been told by a couple people.
Well, unfortunately, they got a Democrat mayor up there. And for some reason or other, it seems like if Trump says, well, we need to open, they do everything. He rents free in their head, lives rent free in their head. And when you've got, I'd say, half of the Democrats and all of the Republicans don't care what Trump does, you got some of these that if he says this, they're going to do four times that much because he's just not doing a good enough job.
Right.
And they're going to keep it closed. And maybe it's to destroy the economy so he looks bad during the election. That might be the reason. I don't know. But all I know is the Democrat mayors and governors are going a little goofy in a lot of places. I mean, they could be opening up, and that's not a... That's just an observation. That's not a political statement. That's just an observation of what I've seen. I don't know why they're doing it, but it's just... How ridiculous. Let people go out. You know? It's not good. No. Domestic violence is on the rise. I mean, people are having a lot of bad effects. You know, you gotta allow people a little freedom. We're not used to that. We're not communist country here. No matter what they want to do to bring us socialist communist, we're not built that way. You know, it takes a lot of time to get people to do that. You gotta kill a lot of people in order for that to happen. You know? Well, that's the way socialism's always been done. You gotta, you tell people, purge. Okay, now we're gonna socialist. Well, you have to kill a lot of people to become a socialist nation, because most people who lived the other way cannot survive in that. Their brain won't function that way.
Right.
You know, they just don't have time to acclimate. So anyway, Gulf of Mexico, reefs and wrecks?
It just started to calm down enough, so I only got two reports. But the Spanish and King Mackerel are scattered all over the place out there with a few Bonita. Got a few Permit and Cobia on some of the nearer shore reefs, like inside of 10 miles. And then there has been some red grouper out there in 70 feet of water, so they moved in just a little bit closer. And the mangrove snapper and yellowtail bite has been pretty decent on some of the spots out there. I'd imagine we're going to get a lot more reports come Monday and Tuesday, though, because we got beautiful weather tomorrow and Monday, or you know, Sunday and Monday are supposed to be pretty calm. So a lot of guys have been buying bait today and yesterday getting ready for it.
I've had people fishing close, like Novak, Trembly, and around that 3 to 5 mile reefs, blackfin tuna.
Yeah. So, yeah, guy got one off of Helens last week.
Yeah.
And that's only, what, 3.5 miles outside of Captiva?
Something like that. It's not very far out. Go on our reefs and wrecks page and heard about it. They're just getting the beaches open.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I haven't had any reports yet on the beaches. A lot of people going, though, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And they need to. They need to get out and enjoy themselves and, you know, stay a bit apart. But, you know, sunshine, hot air, humid weather, that's the safest environment for you to be. In a building with air conditioning is the least safe place to be. Outside, heat, humidity, sunlight, UV rays. I mean, let's face it, you live in Florida. If you're outside without, I usually don't put on sunblock till after I've been out for 20 minutes. But if you wait longer than 20 minutes, you're sunburned.
Yeah.
If you put it on right away, you don't get tanned. So you never build up the stuff. But
man, I'll still rather look Irish.
You know.
Or Polish.
You know, those UV rays in Florida. I try and tell people when they buy boats, don't buy cushions and padding and all the stuff that makes a boat so cool and beautiful, don't get. If you can't hit it with a pressure washer and be done with it, it's going to rot, it's going to crack, it's going to get moldy, it's going to get nasty. every bit of cushion and padding, they look so great the first year, two, three, 4 or 5 years down the road, they don't look so good.
Right.
They're all moldy and nasty and cracked up. The sun splits them up. Try not to get any of that stuff. Get something you can just take a little pressure washer and boom, 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 done.
Yeah.
Carry the cushions in the house. The least amount of cushions, and try and make sure they're removable. And you'll love that boat a long time. But all that, like, rails with the padding on it, in 5 years, that's a lot of money to replace all that.
Yeah, it is.
So, anything going on in any of the passes?
Yeah, yeah. Boca Grande and Captiva are almost mirror images of each other. There's tarpon, a lot of tarpon. They've been moving in and out, but they're there pretty consistently most of the day, along with some pretty big sharks. But I've had several people get some mangrove snapper drifting through there, lots of Spanish mackerel, a couple of bluefish, and a handful of pompano being caught on the edges of the channels. It's been pretty fishy out there. Most of the guys are chasing, obviously, the tarpon, and some guys are chasing the sharks, but there's been a good variety of fish, and a lot of guys are seeing snook in the passes along the edges. Not too many people catching them or not targeting them, but they're seeing them.
Okay, Sanibel, anything?
Well, tarpon out front and Sanibel, but nothing that I've heard of around the causeway or anything. Now that it's all opening up, because they officially opened up everything too down there in Lee County, so we'll start hearing a lot better reports, I think, over this next week.
Yeah. All right, Matt Lachey?
Got nothing. We got nothing this week down there at all.
It was just a couple years ago. It was like, oh, this is the best fishing there is, and this is the, you know, da-da-da-da, and there's so many fish being caught. Pine Island Sound.
I think a little bit of it is some of our regulars have been quarantined, because we've got several guys that usually give us at least one report. But
I'm just saying in general, it's been months since we've had a lot of reports from the north end of Pine Island, and that, you know, where all the bait is in that whole area in there.
Right. True.
Everything's been south of there or north of there.
True.
You know, it's been months. It's not like this week, you know.
No, that's true.
No, I said that, and here I'm reading very good fishing. Everything is here, permanent pompano. Okay, so it's been this week. I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. Okay. I should read what's
calendar?
Right in front of me here. All right. Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's been really incredible. Big, big snook. Lots of guys catching some 30 to 40-inch snook. A couple of Danny's customers came in the other day. They got three snook right at 38 to 41 inches. Some big redfish. And then the tarpon have been scattered up and down in the deeper water along the intercoastal, along with some big, big sharks and some smaller sharks. And also Spanish mackerel, a couple of bluefish again, and then a couple guys got into some trout actually down there south of the shacks. They didn't say exactly where they were at, but they said that they were closer to Pine Island but south of Captiva Pass. But they got into quite a few trout. He was like, oh, the trout are coming back, so great. But I said, well, did you catch them all over the place? He's like, no, it was only in about a 200 yard area, but we caught a lot of them. But he at least got some nice trout.
Yeah, it's funny, because I told FWC I would help him with a couple of projects. And I said, you know, he said, oh, well, you know, I told him, I said, a couple of things I'd like them to look at. Oh, we got this woman who's going to be, you know, doing all this, and her job is to, you know, get this stuff and new ideas and all that. And I said, how would you like, I'll bet you lunch that A, she'll never even call, or B, she's going to go with complete 1980s thinking, because there's no way they're going to open their minds up. Once they've gone to biology school and they're a biologist, it's like weather people and, you know, any kind of eco nuts. They lose their mind. They cannot have, they can't, there's a word for critical thinking, you know, thinking outside of the normal. Don't try any new ideas, because this is the best. I went to school. My teacher said this.
Right.
And that's, and it's like they won't think. They won't experiment. How would we ever cure viruses and bacterias and diseases if no one will think?
Right.
If all you want to do is the same old, and expect different results, well, that's what our environmental people are like today. Hang on. I just got up to go get something which I cannot find right now. What the heck did I do with it?
I don't know. You set your tape measure.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Never mind.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, you know, I don't move very fast. And Robert's like, well, I'll get him for you. I said, man, I'm crippled, not dead. You know, I can still meander around.
All right. I get it.
Jug Creek Shows, Boquilla.
A lot of Spanish mackerel down there. I've been catching some good size Spanish, like up to like 16, 18 inches. And then a handful of sharks, too. There's been a lot of little bait down there. A lot of guys are going down there trying to find something worthwhile, but most of it's been really small, but at least it's brought in some of the good predatory fish.
Yeah. All right, Burnt Store Two Pines.
Snook, some redfish, but there has been a handful of pompano on top of the bar with some ladyfish, and then some sharks right on the outside edge of the bar of assorted sizes and flavors. Been pretty good down there. Weird part is, well, I guess that makes sense because the park has been closed down there, because I figured I'd been hearing more people wading down there because this is the time of year where they'd love to be down there. Yeah, as soon as I started to say it, it clicked. But yeah, because this is usually the time of year when they like to be down there.
Which really made a lot of sense because there's not a lot of parking. You got to walk through the woods on this long path, through the mud and everything else.
Right.
And then you get out, you're wading out on the flats. I don't know how you could do anything but social distance there. I'm not
right.
sure why they closed that down at all.
No, I don't understand.
Actually, I'm kind
that.
Of I'm surprised they actually leave it open.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I won't go through it this time of year because it's too buggy.
Oh, it rained the other day. You couldn't get me within 3 miles of it.
No, it's terrifying to go out back right now sometimes. The wind was really nice last night, so it didn't bother me too bad, but she got drilled a couple times and whoo.
Remind me when we get done about bugs. I've got a theory about bugs, okay? All right, East Side
has gotten a few more reports this week. There's been quite a few snook moving over there in little groups. Handful of redfish. Had a mixed report of a couple really small trout along the flats as they've been drifting looking for snook and redfish. And then there's been some cobia, a few tarpon, and a few sharks on the outside edge of the bar. Everyone's looking, though, because the water's gin clear over there from what I've been told. It's supposed to be pretty spectacular right now.
Yeah, my boat's still sitting there with the center console off because I threw my back out lifting it off.
Nice.
A while back, and then I had to do it all again and threw my back out again, and dumb son of a gun. You know, but you spend 60-some years getting stupid, it would be a shame not to show it off every once in a while. You know, I put so much practice into getting this stupid. Why wouldn't you want to show it off every once in a while?
Once in a while.
Yeah. All right. Alligator Creek Reef, or Alligator Creek, and yep. Poacher's Cut, Skating Rink.
Been a few mangrove snapper up inside there underneath the docks. Quite a few snook moving out of all those canal systems. And that's really all I've heard back in there. I haven't gotten any decent reports from Burnt Store Isles. I was talking to Jeff Jar yesterday, one of the Burnt Store Isles Fishing Club guys, and he said it's been a little quiet off of his dock, but he's been mostly going out fishing the east side.
Cool.
That's where some of that report came from.
Ponce de Leon.
Got nothing. I've gotten nothing there this week. A lot of people went to fish it, but I've got nothing.
I haven't heard anything from Ponce either. PGI canals.
Some nice snook. And guys are catching those trolling, along with still a few big jacks. And then the snapper have started to move in a little bit better into some of those canals. Some guys are doing really good off their docks. The silver sides have been doing real well. Some of the guys are using cut-up finger mullet and a handful of shrimp. But I've had two guys catch them on storm twitch sticks. One guy got like 14-incher or something like that off of his dock on a twitch stick.
Really?
Yeah. Look, that's funny.
I mean, that's the only. How does that lure keep working?
I don't know. You think the fish would be numb to it by now with as many as we sell?
We've sold thousands.
I've seen that before.
Not even figuratively thousands. By now, we're into tens of thousands of those lures that we have sold.
Yeah.
And it continues to catch fish, and it doesn't make any sense. Usually you get about a 2-year window.
Right.
And this has been, what, 5 years now?
Oh, yeah.
Longer?
Probably longer now.
That this is still the number one lure to catch fish with, and it doesn't make any sense. It's not that good a lure.
No, that's crazy.
And the fish keep
it's amazing. It's pretty mind-boggling. Matter of fact, I gotta probably go out and send one of them out to get another box out of the warehouse because we're down to the last couple in here.
It's the only lure in the store we still have six, eight pegs of the exact same model lure.
Eight pegs. Yeah.
And we're constantly refilling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we sell almost as many of that one lure as easily as, you know, it accounts for 50% of our lure sales. Maybe 30%.
I'll go with 30% strong. I think 50% might be pushing it, but
it's still
strong. 30% for one lure accounting for 30% of all the lures in here. That's pretty serious.
8,000 lures in the store.
Right.
You know,
that's crazy.
You know, and none of us can figure out. Even the factory has sat in here and they wanted to see, are we just handing it to everybody?
Yeah, are we giving them away?
And they were like, it's unbelievable. People walk up and they buy two of them. They buy six of them. If they live further away, they always buy like six or more, you know, at least four. But the further away from us they live, the more they buy when they come in. But it's just
doesn't
crazy.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, Gilcrest Pier.
Got nothing over there.
Some snook and they're... Can't really tell what it was. The guy hooked into a big fish, but this little big fish. I think it was a shark because it just went pink and cut off. So I think he hooked a shark over there. But I just wrote impossible big fish. Alligator Creek Reef.
Spanish mackerel have been scattered up and down the whole thing. There's been a few times where tarpon have been scattered all around it. And then a couple guys did actually catch some mangrove snapper off of it.
There's been some cobia there, too.
Yeah. It's been a very odd year for the cobia. Two guys swear that they're all over the place, and then six guys tell you that the only ones they're seeing are small ones. I'm kind of torn on what's really happening with the cobia out there.
There are guys talking about 40-inch cobia, 40-inch cobia, 40-inch cobia.
Yeah. It's just been a mix mash.
Yeah.
It's almost like watching the news. Which one do I believe?
It's been
going back and forth both sides with the cobia this year. And I've seen very few pictures of any big cobia.
Yeah, all I hear is the guys talking about it. I've sold so many landing nets.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, what happened? Well, I had this cobia. I was going to bring him into the boat. I said, you use your landing net?
Thank you. Job security.
That was nice of you. I could use the money. Don't know what it is about a cobia and a landing net, but boy, they tear them up.
Oh, yes, they do.
Because if they don't just go right through the mesh, they twist metal and rip the... I mean, the one guy said the only reason he landed the fish, he says it was 40-some inches of cobia, was because the jig head that he hooked the fish with got caught in one of the things on the mesh.
Okay.
And that was stuck there, and the cobia was hanging through the hole in the mesh that it created, and it was literally hanging there, and one side of the rim bent, and he got the fish in because of the jig head, which got tangled up in the mesh. Otherwise, he would have never got the fish. He pulled the fish in by the jig head, tangled in the mesh.
That's crazy.
Deep holes in the harbor.
Well, let's see. You got tarpon are scattered in all of them. There's been some Spanish mackerel, some schools of jacks, and there's actually been two, possibly three separate schools of black drum moving around out there. They had one guy say that he was catching the school of black drum at marker, up by marker one at the top of the 20-foot hole, but his buddy at the same time was just below Pirate Harbor fishing another school of black drum at the same time, because they were out there looking for tarpon and couldn't find any, so they started messing with the drum that they came across. So I'm not sure what's going on out there with that. A little odd.
Okay. Yeah, the other thing, they're the jacks and bluefish.
Yeah.
Guys are catching bluefish mixed in with the jacks.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. And, all right, freshwater stuff.
Tilapia are still strong. The Mayan cichlids are still pretty strong. And still can't say enough about the bass fishing, I guess, because, I mean, geez, the shiners have been just flying out the door. And I think this rain that we had day before yesterday really ramped it up, because we went through a lot of shiners yesterday and this morning so far. Been pretty impressive. And I'm hearing a lot of guys catching, like, 2 to 4 pound bass. You know, not giants, but fun size. You know, to a guy from up north, 4 pound bass is a big, big bass. You know, so it's been pretty impressive. Worms, night crawlers, some of the little spinners are still selling, like the little beetle spins and the roadrunners, stuff like that, but they've been mostly natural bait. That's been the big, big thing right now. We started selling a few more spinner baits this past week. We're kind of thin on some of those Strike King spinner baits.
Okay. Good God, it'd be nice if I didn't hit all these extra keys.
Yeah, extra buttons are always a trip.
Call from Denise and...
Hey, there's the shrimp order coming through.
Yeah, hopefully Jeff's still here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
Yeah, he won't leave until we walk out there. He's good that way.
Yeah, somebody was saying, you know, thank God you're here. I was just, you know, thank God I've got unbelievable people with me. All right, red dots.
Red dots, Boca Grande Pass. Captiva Pass, the intercoastal from Captiva up to Boca, and then I've gotten a couple good reports on the beach from Captiva up to Gasparilla Pass.
So all along the beaches?
Yeah, well, from Captiva to Gasparilla Pass. I haven't heard of anything north or south of there though. Except for the few right there off of Knapp's Point, but that's more the next one. The, what is it, the white?
Yellow.
Yellow, I'm going to say. Knapp's Point. Placita Trestle area.
Alright. I'm doing yellow, Placita Trestle, and down here by Knapp's.
And then all the 20-foot holes.
Okay. How about over by the Mayaca?
I haven't heard much over there. They really haven't. They were there 2 weeks ago for a couple days and then disappeared out of there.
All right. Yellow dots are 50-50. White dots are chances.
I'm going to say the mouth of the Mayaca would be a chance.
All right. East side, west side sandbars?
Yes. Chance. And then I would also say from Cape Hayes out towards Boca, I'd say that's probably maybe a 50-50 on the Cape Hayes to
More to along Boca. Like the hill?
The straits, that whole area. Because guys are seeing a ton of bait out there and everything else, and those fish have been moving in and out of the holes with pretty good regularity, so they're coming through that whole area.
Okay. All right, that it?
That's it.
Any night fishing? I forget about that.
A little bit at the 41 bridge, but it's been super inconsistent.
All right, we'll forego that.
And even with that hill tide that went off, I guess the night fishing was slow to mediocre.
Yeah, we've heard some really horror stories about all that.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, go away. Alright, we are, okay. A guy was in, and he was telling me about, he was doing really, really good on redfish and snook and, you know, just tons of this stuff out there, right? And he was down kind of in the Two Pines area. And there was just, he was having 20, 30 fish afternoons, just catching so much stuff. It was unbelievable. And then they sprayed for the mosquitoes and the fishing just stopped. And I'm thinking in my little pea brain that there was so many bugs there that the bait fish, everything was feeding on the insects. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And there was just a ton of insects, a ton of food for the bait, which when they sprayed for the mosquitoes, took the bait fish left because the food was gone. All the mosquitoes, you know, died, all these bugs.
All of it, because that
stopped right there.
They call it mosquito control, but it's still an insecticide, so it kills. I mean, when was the last time you saw a lightning bug at your house?
Yeah, and so the lightning bugs
died. Spiders,
die,
everything.
Yeah, it kills all bugs.
It's bugs.
So, you know, they're doing it to keep the no-see-ums and mosquitoes under control, you know, so Zika viruses and all these nasty things that come along with mosquitoes nowadays. But once they sprayed, he said he couldn't find any fish there.
I like that theory a lot. That's pretty interesting.
Because they hadn't sprayed at all, and then we started to get the rains and, you know, the puddles and all that, and all of a sudden they started, you know, spraying, and fish left the backcountry. Wrong or right?
No, that's got me scratching my head thinking about it, because that's actually a pretty interesting theory, because I mean, I could see that really turning something off when you've got little mullet, baby tarpon, baby snook, baby redfish. I mean, all of life starts in those back creeks and marshes, and without those bugs there, you know, we've always said it, if you can't breathe and you can't eat, what are the fish going to stay there for?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you eliminate one or both. You know,
food and fornication.
Pretty much.
I don't know why else you would want to be somewhere.
Right.
Kind of like being a teenager.
Right. Yeah. No, that I like that concept. I mean, that's a pretty interesting theory, without a doubt. That would be worth looking into a lot more.
I don't know if I'm wrong, right, or if it's a good witch, a bad witch, or a sandwich, but it is a witch.
Definitely. It's definitely something to think about. I like that.
So, you know, this is approximately our 147th fishing report.
Really?
It's 147 weeks, plus we've missed a bunch over those.
Sure.
That's quite a few.
That's impressive.
It's actually quite a few. I was just looking at that, and I happened to notice, because I've been adding numbers to them, that I went back and took a relative guess on it, you know, when we started, how many of them were fishing reports and stuff like that.
Right. That's pretty good.
So, anyway, but yeah, I wanted to think about that. And, you know, you think about it when they spray in fresh water, all the different stuff that goes on. Why wouldn't that be true when they do the bug spraying there? What does that do to the fish populations in those areas when they're really spraying all that bug spray?
Right. That'd be a fun one to bring up to Josh and talk to him about with the type of chemicals, because I don't know exactly how the chemicals are.
A lot of times it's diesel fuel and malathion or something like that. It's not an exceptionally harmful spray as far as humans go.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a very old chemical, and malathion is usually the one they use. And it doesn't have a long half-life. you know, once you spray it, it breaks down fairly quickly, unlike a lot of the older stuff.
Right.
Or a lot of the other stuff. But, you know, usually it's a mixture of diesel fuel and malathion of some kind or another.
Hmm.
It's not really harmful to humans, so to speak.
Right.
But it does a heck of a job on the bugs.
Yeah, it does. That's pretty cool. I've never thought about
it. I
mean,
I don't know if
that.
They're still doing it. I know that's what years ago they used.
Right.
You know, who knows what they're doing now? They might be spraying Lysol for all I know.
Right.
I mean, the world got really stupid. We had stuff that worked, and it was pretty steady, and now we can't use it.
Yeah.
Everybody else does, but we can't.
Right.
It's like these Econets. We are emitting less emissions in the U.S. than any time in our history. We're at one of the lowest emissions since the industrial age began. The U.S. is the big polluter. No, we're not, you freaking morons. Look up your own damn stats.
Right.
We're doing almost nothing. I remember in the 70s when I was a kid, rivers would catch on fire. They were so polluted.
Yeah.
Literally catch on fire. And we've come an enormous long ways.
Same amount of cows, chickens, and pigs, but...
Ooh, the air conditioning. Hey. The air's clear. Hmm, okay. I don't know. I think they're all nuts. The one thing I don't think we understand at all is how we affect the planet and what we do and how we do it. And this is a thing like environmental, political, where you've really got to be middle of the road. We need people who are not, you know, the Earth's going to end in, you know, 12 years and, this is all fine. Man has nothing to do with it. We need people who are in the middle of that, looking at both aspects of it. And we need people, you know, same as with politics. We don't need people who are, this has got to be all this and this got to be all that. The middle is usually where the truth is.
Yeah.
It's not, if you're hardcore one side or another, you're probably wrong.
Right.
You know, so, anyway, let's play the music, get out of this. If the music would play. There it is. Oh, I even got it at the right volume. I'm not going to touch it.
Nice.
Wow. Can't believe that happened.
Right.
So, anyway, from Studio O, office.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Well, we got Studio F out back.
I was trying to think. Studio O. Okay.
That's the only thing I can come up with.
Hey, that works.
Live from downtown Charlotte Harbor, Florida, in Studio O, in the super secret location in the back of Fish and Frank's in his office. The Area Fishing Report. I don't know what
stuff.
You know, even with all that, I guess we didn't have a lot to talk about in summer because we're only like an hour and 18 minutes. And we've gone 2 hours plus.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like Chatty Cathy today.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now that they open the piers, we'll have more next week.
All right. Well, say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Bye, y'all.